Rocky, rocky, roll! Oh! Welcome to the Misai Root podcast of the Kazuma Tsukunaga Book Club. Joining us today are your regular cast of Aspiety, Biscuit Dough, and Pepe. Unfortunately, our guest Bowie couldn't be here today because his internet service provider decided to not work on today for some reason. And
decided to screw him over.
Such is the life of living in the middle of nowhere. I know these pains.
Yeah, it's quite disappointing, but I don't know, maybe he'll come on for a future episode to fill in for someone else. First up, we're going to have our 30-second recap, this time presented by Pepe.
In this route, Tomoya gets to stay in Misaya's room after helping her save her cat, and he falls in love with her and the smell of her futon. He decides to spend his day listening to her advice instead, because Sunohara is a total creeper. After trying to learn more about Misaya's love life by turning her into a romance advisor, she eventually cracks and they share an intimate moment which suddenly turns into a flashback! We learn about Misaya's long-lost love and her infinite side character friends. She falls in love with a boy of questionable age, and which turns into the biggest twist of them all. Misaya is actually a cat lover. She always denies it. I'm not really into cats, but we know.
Isn't it technically the cat that loves her?
It's well, Rachel.
I know. So what did you guys rate this root?
I gave
it... Tomoe is a creep out of 10.
Creep out of 10. Futon smells nice out of 10.
Yeah, Futon smells nice out of 10.
Tomoe is such a creep in this root.
Not just this! Well,
I don't know.
Maybe not. He is a creep.
He's kind of funny.
He's a creep in a few other routes, don't worry.
I thought he was funny. I don't know.
Real,
there is
real
that
talk,
one scene whenever he, the first time that someone walks into the room and asks for, like, some laxatives or whatever, because they're constipated, I just, like, completely,
oh.
Says, like, he makes a full full turn inside the futon, he's just like,
what?
Somehow. And I was just like, okay, yeah, this is kind of funny.
You can't pain them for thinking that. I bet
Like, throughout the whole first half of the route, Masai is basically just constantly telling him, like, okay, why are you here all the time? What the fuck? It's, like, very in character, and it's good. I enjoyed it. They kind of have this just weird thing going on, and then, like, there's the whole thing where Tomoe is just, like, hanging out, and she's just like, you don't think this is romantic at all, do you? Jeez.
Well, it was a nice base to set up the route, actually.
Tomoe has no idea what he's doing.
Tomoe is just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
He has this unrequited love thing going on. Oh, that's interesting.
I think it was just like, wow, this is a huge step up from Sunohara's room. We're just going to hang out here from now.
Yeah, because, like I said, Sunohara's a creeper. Like, the only times that you interact with Sunohara in that route is when he tries his utmost to see Misaya's boobs. God damn it, Sunohara.
God damn it, Sunohara.
Biz asked what I rated the route. I gave it a 5 out of 5 on the forum, on our little voting thing on the forum.
Same here.
Yeah, pretty fucking good.
I give it a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
Rating things is hard.
Wow.
Rating things is hard. I wouldn't give
it 4 out of 5. It's shit.
The easiest 5.
I wouldn't mind giving 5 out of 5 to like half the routes in Clannad, because half the routes are fucking good.
I guess rating out of the way, let's go ahead and talk about why. Why did you give it a 5, Pepe? What's your favorite part of this route?
I think what made it so good for me was the pacing. Because it doesn't try to put in too much, you know? Because, like, right now I'm reading some other routes, I won't say which one, but I'm starting to feel like a lot of it is, you know, just too much daily life sort of thing. Might get a bit boring, but like the pacing was really good because we get enough to get the message that hey, Tomoya wants to hang out with Misaya, and he's trying his best to get her to notice him in that sort of way, but not too much that it starts getting boring. Like, they even skip through all the tens of people who ask her for romance advice thanks to the flyer that he made. Which I think is cool.
Yeah. And he's trying to get her to, like, notice him, but at the same time, he's still trying to figure out what it is that he feels, but he doesn't know enough about her to, like, actually confirm how he feels. So, like, he tries to figure out more, but he does it in his own way because Masai isn't going to just tell him.
Yep.
Did you guys pick Nagisa or Yo?
I went for both.
I picked Nagisa.
Yeah.
I didn't do both.
Both of them are really, really cute, I think. Like,
Really sad, you mean?
Yeah.
It's really cute!
I'll have to go back and do it.
One thing I want to talk about in this part is, like, Misai is very observant. Even if she means something as a joke, she kind of can read between the lines and figure it out. Like, you don't even know why she said, make sure it's not Okazaki. And then, like, and they just fall silent. And, like, oh, it is him, isn't it?
I love her reaction to it. She's just like, really? But then at the same time, she starts thinking kind of slightly differently about him. Like, okay, I guess he's not that bad, but...
He's not just a creeper who stays in women's rooms.
I wonder if Misai actually clued into the fact that, you know, Tomoe is, like, totally into her. And it's like, oh, you're in for a bad time, girl, because he's not into you.
I don't know. She probably thought of it not in a serious way, but she probably thought of it. Like I said, she's very observant. That's what makes her a good dorm mother.
They kind of skip much of that explanation, so who knows.
Mm-hmm.
On to our first key point. Perixion poses to us, in what ways do you think Tomoe's current family situation influences his feelings for Masaya? Is she the closest thing to a mother he has that makes him like her in the end, or is it the reason she cares and listens to him or something like that which makes him fall in love with her?
I would go for the latter.
I would say neither. Because, I just want to put this on the table. I do not think that Tomoya is looking at her as a mother figure and falls in love with her because she's a mother figure. I do not think that at all. Because, and the second is...
Agreed.
The second is that, was saying, it's because she cares and listens to him. But if you notice, like, most of the time, she isn't caring for him and she isn't listening to him. He's just staying inside the futon, listening to her care for others and listening to others. We don't really see Tomoya talk to Misai about his problems, right?
It doesn't really end up being... I mean, I just picked for the sake of having to choose, but, like, it doesn't seem to me that it's so much about him wanting someone to care for him as much as that he admires her caring for others.
Yep.
Yes.
So I think it's a
big point of this, like, that a lot of people view Masai as a mother, and Tomoe's like, no, I view you as a woman. I view you, like, a fall in love with who you are now and all that.
Yep.
It's like,
yep.
And I don't think that's a mother complex.
And I think the way he fell for her is very natural, because it starts out like, she's pretty caring, she's a pretty cool girl, and he starts getting interested, and the more he learns about her, the more he gets interested, and the more he develops feelings for her, you know?
And further, I mean, I wouldn't know enough yet, because obviously I haven't read much into it, but for all Tomoya has even mentioned about his childhood that he doesn't particularly remember much about, I remember I even picked a scene where it's like you can choose to think about his past or whatever, and he just doesn't really pull up anything. I don't think that... I mean, he lost his mother at such a young age, he says, that it seems difficult that even from, like, a subconscious perspective for that to even be a thing. Like, I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
At all.
I guess you're right. Like, if you grew up without a mother, you wouldn't know how it feels, and you wouldn't see someone in that sort of way.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing, I guess moving on from that, we should, like, look at the flashback now and ask, how do you think, what do you think of Katsuki, for a start? How do you like him as a character?
Shima-kun.
Shima Katsuki. I spell the Katsuki with a C.
Oh, okay. That's a
very, very funny aspie.
Thank you. Because that's actually not his name either. He doesn't have the name. He doesn't have a name.
even as a cat, she never gave him a name.
Yep.
That's a very key twist, yes, too. Felt a bit like Air in a way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remind me a little bit of Sora.
Yes,
it spoilers.
Did. Yeah, you probably shouldn't talk about that.
Like, it's very interesting to see his character while, if you don't know who he is yet, because you're like, you probably see him as a very, very awkward kind of person, right?
Weak and awkward.
Yeah, but I mean, like, once you know that, oh, he's actually a cat, he isn't a human being, then part of it makes sense.
I really like Shima.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. Maybe it's not necessarily because, oh, it's a cat, and the cat thinks differently than humans do, which would be kind of cheesy. But I really like Shima for, I guess, his, and I'll just keep saying his and Shima for the sake of understanding. Yeah. I like Shima for his, I guess, his innocence.
Yes.
But even then, it's not necessarily his innocence. Just his perspective of things, as Masai calls out countless times, is so different than what your typical person would think. And this kind of works well next to Tomoya as well, I think. And how they view things kind of differently from what your common dude would think. I think it's one of the most interesting parts of the Root, really, and one of the reasons I love it so much. Because there's this idea swirling around about Misai being in this aura of perfection, but not necessarily being perfect, right? And it has to do with this one scene. Like, first of all, Shima's voice actor, whoever that is, holy shit, they're so good.
True.
They're so good. And one of the best scenes is whenever it's the scene where he has to tell her about Igarashi already being with somebody else, right?
Man, Igarashi's a dick.
In that entire scene, I mean, I guess he's not too bad. You got me sidetracked. but anyway, Shima is, like, talking to her about the situation, and she's just like, oh man, this is your chance, you can take advantage of this, blah blah blah. And it's so, she even directly says that this is just people around her make her think this way, and it's not necessarily how she thinks. Yep. And it made me think of Yuki and Saki and how I didn't particularly like them at first, but that's a whole other bag of worms.
This goes.
But he goes into this, like, whole thing and this whole spiel, and she basically shows, like, this perfect, like, incorrect form of thinking that is accepted as a normal ideology, and Shima's just like, that's fucked up.
That's not okay. That doesn't make sense.
Right? And I relate to that a lot, for personal reasons that I guess I could go into a little bit later. But, like, and one of the reasons that this just clicks with me so good, but, like, it's perfect to add a lot of character to Misai, because so far in the Root, in this flashback, she's kind of always been so with it, and it seems like she knows so much more, and Shima is just super ignorant and stuff, right? But then in this scene, it immediately flips sides, where she's just, like, really ignorant and arrogant about the whole thing, even though she doesn't understand that it pertains to her, and in, like, an instant, she immediately realizes how stupid she is, like. And I think that's
fantastic. That was an amazing scene.
It's an enormous weakness to her character, and, like, it's brilliant, and it adds so much.
Oh, yeah. That was a fantastic scene in general. Like you said, the voice acting was all there. Why weren't the CGs there?
That goes into her being very observant. Like, she can imagine all of these possibilities, and even if she doesn't accept or consciously know she's right, she can figure it out, right?
And while we didn't see exactly what she had to go through whenever she kind of disappeared for that day, she figured it out, you know? Like, whenever Shima sees her again, you can tell that she's kind of come to terms.
Yeah, definitely. She sorts out her emotions pretty quickly. And that kind of ties into what Nick was saying. The day after getting rejected, Misai skipped school. Do you think she did so only due to the shock of rejection, or was it more because she needed to sort out her feelings for Shima?
It's definitely a bit of both.
Thank you, Naoki-sata.
It happened at the same time, and it's definitely a bit of both.
I think it's a bit of both, but she also probably needed to do some self-reflection as well to kind of think about her position and
how does she really feel about everything?
Yeah,
like did she really like Igarashi, or was it just a fleeting interest?
Is it because he was popular and she was looking to be more popular and things like that? Right.
Yeah.
Or does she prefer the innocent guy who's always been by her side?
Which it turns out to be the case. Yeah. Isn't it funny that you know, the advice that Shima criticized as horrible ended up coming true in the end? Like, you console her and she'll fall for you. It's like, it all ended up happening anyway. Even if you thought it was, like, wrong to think like that.
It's not wrong. Like, I mean, it is kind of fucked up when you think about it from, you know, looking at it from the outside. But it is true. Like, feelings just end up working out that way, you know?
Yeah. That's very true.
Can't control the feelings.
But, like, you shouldn't, like, I guess the moral there is that you shouldn't be manipulative like that.
It is manipulative of their feelings, and she even says that herself. She's just like, God damn it, you know that this is working. Like, you just know. And, you know, maybe that's just how it is, but...
Yeah, it's a very big theme of this route, is manipulating people's emotions, isn't it? It's fucking...
Yeah.
Tamoya trying to manipulate Masai into...
Trying to weed her past out of her, yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes a bit too far.
Yeah.
Oh, can I segue from that? Did you guys get the bad end in Messiah Route?
That was a bad end?
You did?
There's
a bad end, yeah.
Because you can pick the wrong thing at the end.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't pick the right choices of why you like Messiah, you'll get a bad end.
Well, what happened?
It is just brutal. Like, because it ends at the point where she says, you shouldn't fall in love with the door mother. And he just goes out, and he goes back into Sunohara's room, and he just mopes. It was fucking sad. The worst part is, like, he comes in, and Sunohara says, oh, you failed at seeing Misai's boobs, and, oh, fuck you, man.
I mean, he kind of ends up saying that at the end anyways, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Quick shout-out to the real MVPs, Yuki and Saki. Man, those are good side characters.
They will forever
good
be
side characters, and it's a very clever joke that they even make the whole point of them being forever side characters.
Yeah.
Like, I like how they are so accepting of Shima, because, like, he just pops out of nowhere, right? And even if they learn about his actual past, that his name isn't really Shima, they understand, and they can actually tell him, like, a lot of stuff happens. If you want us to keep it secret, that's fine.
Yeah, that was a really impressive scene.
It actually makes me wonder if they ever told Messiah about that. So yeah, anyway, I thought that was pretty cool of them. They are bros.
Definitely, like...
Don't need to be a guy to be a bro.
Their defining characteristics are, like, they're typical high school girls, but I feel like that one scene where, like, they find out about, you know, Katsuki's questionable family life, and the way they react to it.
Like, as people, they seem kind of weird, but, like, and they definitely have, like, those things that counter Shima's actual self. Like, he's not himself because of the things that they say, like, the whole scene where he goes with Park and says a bunch of stupid bullshit, and she's just like, oh god, this is Yuki and Saki.
That was
and
great.
And it's definitely a very good thing that she almost immediately realizes that it's those two idiots, you know, fucking things up.
Yeah.
Like, they may be a bit weird, and maybe their ideologies are definitely a bit off. However, they do end up being dependable friends, and I think that that's true for a lot in school life, that you may have a lot of people that you may not necessarily like, but they may still be dependable, and you may still like them for that reason.
Yeah.
They have good intentions at the end of the day.
Yeah. So then, a lot of people are questioning how this route fits into the rest of Clannad. Yeri and Atsumi made a key point about this. He poses to us, With only one other seeming exception, every other Clannad root is deeply rooted in themes of family. How does Messiah's root fit that theme? Or if it doesn't, then what are its important themes that connect it with the rest of Clannad? So, like... It's all back to this family theme, but I don't think that's the only theme that's important about Clannad. It's definitely an important theme,
I will quote Jun Maeda. Was this Jun Maeda? Anyway, I will quote Jun Maeda on this. Clannad is life.
Well, fun story. That was actually the original name for Clannad, if I remember
correctly. Yeah.
And Babo, I think, was the one that actually shared that information.
Yeah.
The original name was life.
God.
We should have talked about that in the last episode, but yes, that was like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were going to call it life story. Jinsei Monogatari.
So, it... In a way to explain it, in a quick way to explain it, Clannad isn't all about family. Clannad is about life. But family is a gigantic part of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say that... I can't say too much because, you know, we're still early and I can't speak much on the full theme of Clannad as a visual novel because I haven't really read it. So... I can't go too deeply into this. However, I will say that as a root, and from what I do understand of Clannad, Messiah's root actually, to me at least, is like this... It's really good that you read this root early. I like this idea of reading this root early because there's a lot of... And this isn't unique to this root. A lot of other roots kind of carry over and add little flavors to other aspects of the story throughout the entire novel, right? Most key beings do, but this specifically works. Like, there's little things in here that are interesting. Like, there's a sprite of some lady who you don't know who the fuck it is. Key, stop making sprites for characters that we're not supposed to know about. It would be really cool if you just didn't put a sprite there and then people could make the connection later. I'm just saying. Anyways, there's just like a lot of little, interesting, kind of seemingly pointless things that I think are going to be popping up throughout the rest of the novel, and I'm pretty positive that in other root discussions, I will definitely be referencing back to this Messiah flashback about a lot of interesting things that just continue to make this root so cool.
Yeah, that's, this root especially introduces some very important concepts which may become more relevant later.
There's a lot more interesting things that are presented in the root. Like, there are some weird kind of inexplicable things, like, why the fuck is there a cat man? There's also kind of things in the themes that are really interesting in regards to just things that you can take from it personally. While life may consider things about family, it also considers, like, your childhood... and I feel like Messiah's root actually does kind of a neat little thing where a large portion of Clannad, while you are students, you're in the perspective of a student, you are a senior student, and a pretty significant portion of that is moving on. It's kind of like the transition into adulthood.
Yes. Yeah, I was gonna say.
But not necessarily the childhood life itself, like not the high school life, but Tomoya, right? Where he's more so thinking about his future, not so much the now, where Masai is thinking about the now in her childhood. And so in that flashback, you're kind of getting a unique perspective of a certain aspect of life, which is that childhood life and the scramble towards being in school clubs and things. And then from a romance perspective, you get kind of a different view of things where you have kind of this innocent person looking towards someone who's super cool, and it kind of turns into this kind of weird romance thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, it's all very interesting and different. So while I can look at something like Minagi and Air, and people will tell me all day, oh, it's pointless in the end, you don't have to read those roots, they're just in the way, I will continue to just completely disagree with that sentiment and just say that I think that it all plays towards an end, and it's very interesting. From the anime perspective, whenever they freaking made this route, like, it didn't hit me at all because it didn't really play towards anything to me in the anime. Whereas in this, it presents something really interesting, and I actually kind of get invested and attached to it because I actually care about actually care about Shima's perspective and Tomoya's perspective
quite a lot.
Like, I really, really idolize them actually quite a bit. Getting personal about it, like, their perspective of, like, how Masai is always talking about, oh, I've lost my sparkle or whatever, right? Like, she's, oh, I lost my shine, I'm just an old woman.
Yeah.
Which is, they're just kind of like, first off, one, bullshit, and second off, I don't care. Like, right? It's, I don't care, I just like you, right? And I think
that's what Tomoya says.
That's fucking great. And
when Tomoya and Shima talk about it, it's like, it's, they even say, oh, well, it's also because you're beautiful, but they talk about how she worries and how she stresses and stuff, and that's so important to what actual,
how she smells nice,
what actual romance, like, involves to me. Mm-hmm. It's just such an important trait, is that what you love about somebody isn't necessarily these perfect Hollywood ideologies, it's just what you actually like about them, even their bad sides, you know? Which is why this route is just such a perfect romance, and I love these, like, just, they don't even have to end bittersweetly, but, like, these kind of vanilla but not vanilla romances, just, I love them so much.
No, this was very good, because it may not be so much talking about family, as we've already addressed, but that doesn't mean it's not relevant, because the theme of life here is so present. You've got, like, all the different stages. Like, you got Katsuki is, like, sort of this innocent babe who's, like, you know, still discovering his place in life, in a sense. Then you got Masai, who's, like, in the prime of her youth and right
she's
into
like living
it
day to day at this point in her childhood. Yep. And then as she ages, she kind of,
yeah,
she sighs a lot, right, is what Tomoya yeah says. And
then we get after,
it's because,
like,
she's
yeah
kind
the next
of
age of life,
she's kind of past that.
Yeah. Oh, it's
and
great
now she's
how
just kind of
presenting
aging,
this route in two, presenting this route in two different time periods was such a neat idea. And it really, you like, rams home this theme of, like, the progression of life and how that changes people, but also how some things never change, you know. In the end, Masai is still always going to, you know, worry and scold and, I guess, smell nice.
And be beautiful.
And, you know,
and it's cool, because, like, that's, like, brutal honesty, and it's, like, the embarrassing truth. It's like, yo, she smells good. Like, let's be real. You know, that's exactly... And hey, man, that's love. It's all the ooey gooey and all the really embarrassing shit too.
That does make me really admire Tomoya for like, you know, looking past the age there and like just seeing her as she is and falling in love with her as she is then. That's so cool.
That's how I feel. Like
that's why I said it's very natural.
Any person in my life that I've ever actually had feelings for has always been that way, and that's when I know that it's real to me. Is whenever,
yeah,
and, you know, I'm a hopeless romantic, and I might be alone for the rest of my life, but whenever I do find that person that I really care about, that's always how I know, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's very well written. I got to agree, like, the romance there is pretty powerful, but also the,
If that doesn't make it fucking valuable to Clannad, then I don't know what else does, because it's fucking good. And even
yeah,
if it
you,
may not have direct
you,
relations to
you
the
don't
rest
date
of the
her
end, it's still
yeah,
a
you don't date her
fucking good story. Like, it's extremely good.
It is really good. Even the emotional impact really got me. Like, I was getting teary when the whole
like
separation
yeah
scene happened. Oh, that voice acting! Shima
good,
no.
So good.
I was just thinking,
for
fucking
a character you've only seen for like an hour.
Thinking of Shima Katsuki, it's like this kid. He doesn't know what he's doing. All he knows is he has this mission, and he has to grant Messiah's wish. And in the end, he ends up like doing the exact opposite and just leaving a hole in her heart. It's like, it's so tragic. He's a dick.
And I love how. He does end up actually falling for her because, like, he completely forgets about his wish. And then
exactly.
I love the whole transition of him realizing, well, I've granted her wish anyways. Like, I've given her something to love or whatever, right?
But how soul-crushing.
Still, And that's still true today, though, is, like, even as she sits and, you know, just kind of ages and works in the dorm and is just kind of living her sad life, like, that's just what she's doing right now, she still loves Shima, like...
But if you want something really depressing, just think about things from Katsuki's perspective once he finds out he remembers everything about, like, his existence, and it's like, oh, shit, and I'm a cat, I'm gonna disappear soon, I've made this girl fall in love with me, what the fuck now, you know?
And I've fallen in love with
you. Yeah, that really plays towards that final scene. That really plays to that final scene, whenever it's the cat talking to, I guess, Shima, wherever they may be, where he's saying, like, I hope I did what you wanted me to.
Yeah. I hope I did.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad.
A lot this whole bittersweet ending really ties into how Misai is living her life now, because she always looks at herself like, oh, I'm past my prime, and she's tied down to this school. Like, probably the only reason she became a dorm mother is because she's still waiting, because she's still tied down, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it also gives a good reference to how life is, where in the springtime of your youth is when most people think they live the most, and once they start working, they feel like they're just wasting their days away.
Fuck, probably I hate that.
Misai maybe feels the same way, and that's why, because of those intense feelings, she's still tied down to it, and that's another big part of life that they kind of put in as a subtext.
But then Tamoya reminds her, you know, like, it's not over, you're still...
Tamoya reminds
you're
her.
You're still a fucking babe.
I like you for who you are right now.
Yeah, that's such a powerful thing.
It doesn't matter if you're not at the prime of... It doesn't matter if you're not in the prime of your life.
And, you know,
can still find...
They probably didn't end up together. Like, let's be honest.
Love has no boundaries.
But that doesn't mean it wasn't a powerful thing that, like, happened. You know, to kind of remind her.
True. If anything, I think what Tomoya did pushed Misai forward a lot to stop dwelling on the past.
Yeah, stop moping around.
Stop moping around. You're still a great person. You can live your life to your fullest. Go do that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now I can't wait for Komura's route. I bet there's going to be more of this shit.
So... like we just talked about, some people might think that this route is a bit out of place, and I think each specific route in Clannad has their own message that they want to give. So I want to bring up what I thought the message of the route was. So the big part of this route is, I think, not exactly Misai, but Shima. And we learn from that final dialogue of Shima with his owner that he had this goal, right? He had this goal to grant her wish. It was entrusted to him despite being a cat. But even if he had that goal, he got sidetracked. He fell in love. He learned what it is to be a person. Mm-hmm. And I think that story, that message... really ties into how life works, you know? And I think the whole message is that we have goals. Like, a lot of us, when we are young, we have these goals, we have these passions that we want to achieve in life, mm-hmm. right? But as soon as we start living life, we go through so many other experiences that we get sidetracked. Sometimes we forget about our goals. Sometimes we don't even think that that's the goal that we want to do anymore. And that's something that I can personally relate to because, like, the me 10 years ago had totally different ideals of the me now. And you know what? I'm still pretty happy about it. I'm still pretty happy, even if I'm not doing that goal that I wanted to do, I'm still pretty happy about how I'm living my life. So I think the message in this route is not to get too tied up or too blinded by our goals, because that'll just make us blind to what life is really all about. As they say, stop and smell the roses.
You're gonna miss out on being able. Yeah, exactly. So stop and smell the futon, right? You're gonna miss out on. You're gonna miss out.
Good job.
On, like, the beauty of life. If you're so caught up in trying to just reach the goal, you're gonna miss the journey. And yeah, that's really important to Shima, because Shima wouldn't be able to value the wish that he needed to grant, or he wouldn't be able to value what exactly it was that he needed to do if he didn't have that time to actually spend with Masai and realize why she was someone that was so important to the actual Shima, right? Like, as far as we know, Shima basically ended up dying at a young age, because what we can figure out is that she met this person who was definitely going to die, and as she said, this person looked very content about that at the time, and they were probably happy just to have someone to talk to them and put them at ease, right? And maybe Masai was just so beautiful that, oh, I'm so happy I get to die after meeting someone as beautiful as you or something, you know? And so they're able to die happily, but they never actually got to thank that person, and that was the whole purpose of the Shima 2.0 going out and doing the thing. And then experiencing what it was that the other Shima never could experience.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. That's good on you. Good on you.
Thank you, Jun Maeda, for this amazing route.
That's just my impression of the message overall.
It's such a short route. What do you guys think? Like you said about the pacing, this is why I gave this route a 5, man. It's fucking perfect to me. Like, I absolutely love Masai's development. I think she's a brilliant character. The ending is a nice bitter sweetness. The message is perfect. For a backstory about characters that we don't know anything about, I got attached to it, and it was very interesting to me. I will admit that there's a little bit of personal bias, because what's really interesting is I don't know if there are many people who did the same thing. I talk about, like, how this route makes you think about if you're someone who is, you know, getting older, maybe you're out of school, maybe you're still in school, who knows, and you think about, like Pepe said, about having different ideologies whenever you were younger, or having different goals, because when I was younger, I know I had different ideologies and different goals, and whenever I was in school, there was somebody that I really liked, right, and there was this kind of crazy situation that they were going through, where there was somebody that they were interested in who wasn't giving, like, it was practically the same situation where they really liked this dude and the dude just kind of wasn't really giving anything back, right? And I was their friend, but because I cared about them, as opposed to just, you know, being like, hey, why don't you come out with me, I actually helped them. And while that was something that was really painful to me, I wanted them to be happy, right? And that's why something that what Shima does is really, I idolize it, because he says it very perfectly. Like, it's very just self-sacrificing. It's just not fair to, why would you want to see someone that you actually care about end up being unhappy with something that they want to do, right? And, you know, spoilers, the end of the story is I ended up getting with the girl, right? Because they never ended up being there, and I was always there, and I ended up always being there for them and consoling them through their issues, so we ended up getting together, and it didn't even work out. It was not a very good relationship in the end. But at any rate, It definitely plays to that, and while at the time I may have not actually been thinking about the whole, oh, this person is needing to be consoled, I didn't think about it in a romantic perspective, but that's basically what I did, and it kind of makes me feel bad, you know, like, I feel like I probably did, because of the situation I was in, end up taking advantage of this person's feelings, and that makes me feel a certain type of way.
But you didn't take advantage of her, though.
I don't know. Yeah. It's just weird to think about it. Like I said, it's done and over with, and I don't really regret about it. And this is a really, really well written route, because this is something that is very, other than the supernatural aspects, it's very much so in reality. And there are so many situations of this in the actual world that it's perfect for them to present it this way. And it's a romance at its finest, man. It's really good.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the message that this route puts forward?
Well, I guess the message is to, you know, always be genuine, which is kind of the information she gave to Tomoyo in that beginning spot. You know, be honest, even if it's embarrassing, because that's where you're going to find real happiness. Because while you may be able to change yourself for somebody a little bit, that's understandable, and you kind of have these checks and balances and stuff like that, you want to kind of meet in the middle. You still always want to be genuine about your feelings, and always think about things from an outside perspective, because there are lots of variables in play that may be putting things a certain way that you may not actually intend. And in the end, even though you're going to be getting older, that doesn't mean it's too late for anything. I mean, you may still have attachments to your past, but that doesn't really mean anything to your future. There are many doors.
Exactly.
I can also say that I really like this route because I respect Tamoya because Masai is a babe.
No.
Hey.
He right though. He right though.
I like how they always say the last part, and you're beautiful. It's after she stays silent from the first three things, he just comes up and says, and you're beautiful.
God damn it. Say that first.
God. Anyway.
She's a pretty great character. All right. Special shout-outs to four members who made significant contributions in the topic this week. We have DNE1494, Naoki Satan, Shake7, DMB, and Yarian. You all did a pretty great job there on the forum.
Yay.
Bachi, bachi, bachi.
Bachi, bachi, bachi.
Bachi, 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 bachi. And with that said, thank you for joining us this week again. This is the second episode of the Clannad Book Club podcast. We've still got a long way to go. We're just getting started, guys. Next week is Tamoya Root. I've already started reading it, so if you haven't, definitely get on that straight away. If you've already finished Tamoya Root, if you're already reading Yukine, good job! That's what we want to hear.
Even if you're going in a totally different order, that's fine.
So what you're telling me is that we have another really good route followed by another really good route?
Yeah, we do have multiple good routes. Man, all these things are great.
When will we ever get a bad route? Never.
Alright, so thank you everyone for joining me once again. Look forward to seeing you next week for the Tomorrow Route podcast. Until then,
Rocky Rocky Roll! Ow! Woo!